Hey, it is great to be with you. Greetings from Riverside Lutheran Bible Camp up in Story City, Iowa. Could I just get a raise of hands? You've been to Riverside before? Camper, staff member, dropping kids off, an event, on staff, one of those. Okay, lots of folks in the crowd. I see some very familiar faces. Yes, excellent. Well, we've been around a couple years since 1982, before the Oregon Trail computer game, which that's just crazy. I haven't even thought about that in a long time, Bob. But I just want to give you a couple updates from how God is continuing to move in and through his camp. First of all, we believe it's his camp. Just like this church is, it's his church, and it's to be used for his purposes and his glory to point people to him. And so the Lord has been using his camp for 82 years to lead more people to come to know the extravagant love of Jesus and to be released back into their churches, communities, to know the everlasting love of Jesus and continue to walk and take their next step with him. And so let me throw out a couple numbers and we're gonna have a little guessing game. I have no prizes this morning except for I will give you kudos. All right, here's the first number, 17. What do you think the number 17 represents in this last year of ministry at Riverside? 17. Number of states that campers came from summer, for summer camp. Like, why aren't they going to the mountains of Colorado or the lakes of Minnesota? They're coming to the South Skunk River Valley. Well, it has to be the prompting of the Holy Spirit to lead people from 17 different states to come to the Lord's camp to hear and experience the love of Jesus. How about this one? 198. Different cities that campers came from. 198 different cities. Isn't that incredible? All right, here's another one. 1,795. Number of campers. Yes, that's right. I think someone last service said staff, and I'm like, oh, man. We don't have that size of budget, so no. How about this one? 70. Staff. There it is. Nice job. 70 staff. 70 staff members got to pour in the hearts and minds of 1,795 different campers from 198 different cities, from 17 different states, and staff from four different countries. So when you think about the investment that you're making in the ministry of Riverside, you're strengthening the ministry of St. Mark, but you are strengthening the kingdom impact of the Lord to move in marvelous ways, not just in the Des Moines metro, but in 198 cities, 17 different states, and beyond. And so I just want to thank you for your investment in the ministry of Riverside, because you are partnering with us to literally change lives eternally because of what God does in and through his camp for 82 years, and we pray for 82 more. I got some more information out at the table. Would love to connect with you about opportunities coming up at Riverside. Our 2026 dates are set for our marriage retreat and all of our summer camps. Registration goes live on December 1st, but I just want to thank you from the bottom of my heart for your partnership in the gospel for so many years. It is really a kingdom multiplication impact that you are making. Well, this morning, I want to focus on a topic that I feel like every guest preacher comes in and gives. Sin. Sounds great, doesn't it? You're like, this guy's nuts. What is he doing? That's for the pastors here to give. But it's a topic that I feel like the Lord has continued to just bring to light in my walk with the Lord as a sinner in need of God's redeeming. This idea of sin, confession, and forgiveness. This idea of deeper faith, of taking a step in deeper faith and walking with the Lord. And I want to read from Psalm 51 before we get going this morning. Have mercy on me, O God, according to your steadfast love, according to your abundant mercy, blot out my transgressions, wash me thoroughly from my iniquity, and cleanse me from my sin. For I know my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me. Against you, you only, have I sinned and done what is evil in your sight, so that you may be justified in your words and blameless in your judgment. Behold, I was brought forth in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Behold, you delight in truth in the inward being, and you teach me wisdom in the secret heart. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me and I shall be whiter than snow. Let me hear joy and gladness. Let the bones that you have broken rejoice. Hide your face from my sins and blot out all my iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from your presence and take not your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation and uphold me with a willing spirit. Then I will teach transgressors your ways and sinners will return to you. Deliver me from blood guiltness, O God. O God of my salvation, and my tongue will sing aloud for your righteousness. O Lord, open my lips, and my mouth will declare your praise. For you will not delight in sacrifice, or I would give it. You will not be pleased with the burnt offering. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart. O God, you will not despise. Let us pray. Father, we come today before you, knowing that you see us, that you know us, that you love us. I love that song, Gratitude, Lord, that our hearts come this morning out of gratitude that you are a great God who loves and sees your kids this morning, kids of all ages, and that you desire us to continue to walk in step with you and walk in the abundant life that you have for us. And so, Lord, as we open your word this morning, as we reflect on your word this morning, would you speak to us directly by the power of your Spirit, Lord, and help us to hear what you desire for us to hear. In Jesus' name, amen. Tyler Stanton is a pastor and a writer, and he writes this about faith, sin, confession, and forgiveness. The desperate need of our time is not for successful Christians, popular Christians, or winsome Christians. It's for deep Christians. The only way to become a deep Christian, a follower of the way of Jesus, is through the inner excavation process called confession. The pathway of spiritual maturity is a descent, not an ascent. A maturing community is a confessing community, not a church without sin, but a church without secrets. I love that, and I think it touches on a wide variety of different things in regards to confession, but that pathway of spiritual maturity is not an ascent, but a descent. One that is of confession, not of thinking we have it all together and hiding. Not a church without sin, pretending like it doesn't exist, but a church without secrets. It's interesting that I'm sharing this story today because this story comes from when I was eight years old, growing up in Matamidi, Minnesota. And there is someone in this room that I grew up with that came up and connected with me. Lydia, where are you? Lydia, can you believe it? I've not seen Lydia. She was Metzger back in the day. I've not seen Lydia for years. And so that I'm sharing this story, she's going to know exactly where I'm talking about. I had no idea that that was going to happen this morning. Super fun. Do you remember Schneider's Drugstore? Schneider's Drugstore, come on. All right, here we go. I was 8 years old. It was right before Halloween. And I remember going into Schneider's Drugstore, and as any eight-year-old does, your mom is going with one intention to get something, and of course the eight-year-old is what? Going to look at anything and say, I want it, or I need it. And I remember my mom searching for whatever she was searching for, and I found this stamp that I wanted. It was like the stamp where you like stamp it on the pad, and then you go to the paper and stamp it around. You know what I mean? Scrapbookers, where are you at? You know what I'm talking about. And I saw the stamp, and I'm not proud of it. It was a skull and crossbones stamp. For why I thought it was cool, I have no idea. But I wanted this stamp, and so I go and I hunt my mom down, and I go, Mom, life will be complete. I will never ask for anything again. I'm sure I probably said that. Maybe I didn't. If you let me get the skull and crossbones, and I'll never forget my mom saying, no. No. So I walk back, and I go to put it back on the shelf. And instead of putting it back on the shelf, I put it in my jacket pocket. We get to the checkout line. My mom checks out, the stamp still in my pocket. We get home, I go up the steps, open my bedroom door, close my bedroom door, lock the bedroom door, and I have stamped like I've never stamped before. Any piece of paper or things I could find, however designs I can make out of this stamp. And then what happens when you make a piece of art, you have to show somebody. And I am an only child. So I unlock the door, I open the door, I go down the steps, and I show my mom my work of art. Yes, I was dumb. Was not thinking this through. And the question, where did you get that stamp? Where did you get that? So, back in the car, back to Schneider's drugstore, walk in front of the owner, hand back the stamp. Head down, but then head up. I'm sorry, forgiveness. Still had the earthly consequence of being in my bedroom for a while without the stamp. And as I think about getting older, that story sounds cute now, doesn't it? It sounds cute. Funny, we can laugh at it. But as you get older, the power of sin sits a little bit heavier, doesn't it? The power of sin, getting caught. The realizations and what we do are still the same as they were back in Genesis 3, where Adam and Eve caught in sin. They hide. They realize they're naked, cover themselves. And the Lord asks this question, where are you? Even though the Lord knows full well where they are. See, our natural human tendencies with sin. So I think there's a couple ditches. We can either with sin fall into the category, the ditch of it doesn't exist. And 1 John says, if we believe that we are without sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. The deception of Satan, who is real, wants us to live in this ditch that sin doesn't have power over us. That we can dismiss the power of sin in our lives in the midst of others' lives, and we can stay in hiding. Lock it away. I hope no one ever finds out. But yet still day by day, the tapes repeat in our head. I hope I can keep this hidden. Does it really have power over me? Is it true that we hear from Romans 6 that the wages of sin is death? So we can sit in that ditch and just dismiss that it exists and that Satan doesn't have power over us. Or we can live in this ditch over here, which is, I believe in the Lord. I can sing praises to him. And I believe that he is a big God and that he is who he says he is. But could he ever forgive that? His grace is abounding, but I'm still unsure if that is forgiven. We can live in both ditches, and the evil one works in both of those ditches. And so with sin, it isn't fun to talk about because we feel it. Are you feeling it physically right now in your belly? Maybe you're feeling it mentally. It has a weight. Whether it's sin that we've committed or sin that's been committed against us, it has a weight. And it does because it isn't who God intended us to be and walk with in the very first place. And so today, friends, I want us to walk through the liturgy that we talk every week about. Words that we repeat that are from 1 John, and just have a couple of reflections as we take this step of deeper faith, of confessing our sin and receiving God's word of forgiveness. And it is a Jesus-shaped way, not a ditch on the left or the right, but it is a Jesus way that I believe he has for us to experience John 10 abundant life that he talks about. So we hear this in our confession of sin, and we're going to do it later on in the service as we prepare our hearts for communion. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, he who is faithful and just will forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And our response is, most merciful God, we confess that we are in bondage to sin, and we cannot free ourselves, that we have sinned against him in thought, in word, and in deed by what we have done and by what we have left undone, that we have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We have not loved you with our whole heart. See, this biblical idea of sin is broad and it is not simple. Biblical scholars have pointed to 18 different Hebrew words that are used in the Bible, all translated with one English word, sin. The word that we see in 1 John and throughout the Gospels is the word for error, for offense, for proneness to sin, guilt, guilty, and it's this idea of missing the mark. I am horrible at darts. I'm not a good shot with a gun. You do not want to go hunting with me. You want to play darts against me. But it's this idea of sin that's often referred to as missing the mark of perfection, that we do not always get it right. Sin reflects that we have a problem, that there is a weight to it, and as Romans 6 says, there is a consequence, and we're in good company because Romans 3 says we have all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. We're in good company together today. You're gathered among sinners just like me. It's something we share. But sin says this, that it always takes us farther than we ever wanted to go. It always keeps us longer than we ever wanted to stay. And sin always costs us more than we ever wanted to pay. Disobedience, unfaithfulness, laziness, anger, injuring others, word and deed, things stolen, things neglected, things wasted. All of these come out of Luther's small catechism as he describes it. And our instinctive response to sin is just like mine with the stamp. It is hiding. It's hiding. Each day we experience and live in the reality of sin, both our own and the sins of others. And I'm even getting the sense in this room this morning and looking at you, some of you have your eyes down. And what I want you to see and experience this morning is that sin does have a power and a weight. But hear me today, friends. When we don't dismiss the sin and when we don't believe that the Lord's forgiveness is beyond our sin, there is good news for you and I today. Look up, not to me, but look up to Jesus who has died on the cross for your sins, all of them. Let me give you an example of how great the Lord's forgiveness is before beginning the confession. What person who has limitless funds goes to the mechanic and says, my whole entire car dashboard lit up? And the mechanic says, well, this is off, this is off, this is off. And you're like, just fix that one. The Lord's forgiveness is limitless. Come to him not saying, well, take care of this, but I'm going to hide this one. Let him have the whole dashboard. Let him have the whole entire car. Let him have all of you. Let him call out to the captives, Ali, Ali, oxen free. You can come out of hiding. Lift up your eyes, church, and see your risen Savior and live in the abundant life that he's called for you. See, the author John, he talks a lot about this light and darkness. You see it throughout the Gospel of John. You see it throughout 1st and 2nd and 3rd John, this idea of light and darkness. Confession is confessing that we are in bondage to sin. We cannot free ourselves. But if we confess our sins, he who is faithful and just will forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness, all of it. This word confess is the same word that we see and use in like Romans 10, where if we confess with our mouth that Jesus is Lord and that God raised him again from the dead, we will be saved. The same word in 1 John that we hear, whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in him and he in us. Confession is how we turn to him, how we look him in the eye and acknowledge his presence here with us, not a presence to judge, but a presence to offer freedom and forgiveness, eyes that offer rescue. Are you in need of rescue this morning? In deeper faith, spiritual maturity means more confession, not less. Maturity is discovering the depths of my personal brand of fallenness and the depths to which God's grace has really penetrated every bit of it. And let me say that again. Spiritual maturity means more confession, not less. I wonder if we've been kept in the trap of, I've been coming to church for 50 years. I got it all together. I know the words to the songs. But if we see this invitation as confession, as a path to offering this to the Lord and experiencing his freedom, friends, when was the last time you confessed to the Lord or confessed to a friend or confessed to your kids? What does this look like? I'm an imperfect father of three boys. Three boys, 14. That's, I think, where the four came from. 14, 12, and 10. And the Lord has brought me to this point of asking my sons for forgiveness regularly. I mess it up regularly. I am not a perfect father, but they have a perfect heavenly father. And so when I come across poorly or when I communicate something to my kids or I react in a way that is not loving, that is not kind, that is not loving my neighbor as myself, my kids, I will get down on their level and I'll say, Isaac, I'm so sorry that I responded that way. Will you forgive me? Yes, Dad, I forgive you. Now can I keep watching the Vikings lose in football, please? I'm a Vikings fan. But when was the last time that you confessed? See, friends, the witness of Christians today, what if Christians became the most confessing people? What witness would that show to those that don't believe in Jesus? We are not the people that have it all together, but we have a Savior who has put all things together. Friends, what would it look like to be confessors to people receiving forgiveness and that people would know, wow, they might not have it all together, but what is leading them to ask for forgiveness? Confessing that they don't have it all together. What witness would that make to those who don't know Jesus? And what encouragement do we have from Psalm 51? We hear David's honest prayer, a sinner. He says, have mercy on me according to your steadfast love. According to your abundant mercy, Lord, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. Purge me with hyssop and I shall be clean. Wash me and I shall be whiter than snow. Create in me, Lord, a clean heart and renew a right spirit within me. Restore me to the joy of your salvation. And what's David's bio? Maybe a lot like ours, and maybe this is an encouragement to you. David was a liar. A manipulator, an adulterer, a murderer, and a man after God's own heart, writer of the Psalms, full of personal, honest confessions that are unfiltered and raw. He was a long ways from perfection, but he refused to hide. Confession. Forgiveness. Friends, would you receive God's word of forgiveness? Would you hear, Ali, Ali, oxen free? Come out of hiding. Live in the freedom that the cross offers. Not because you're perfect, but because he was the perfect, spotless lamb who died for your sins and rose again victoriously, and his hand is offered out. And his face is not one of condemnation, but it is one of rescue, of a loving father. And what's our response? We can be forgiven forgivers. We can be forgiven forgivers. We can both confess to those and receive forgiveness, but we can also be those who offer forgiveness. And so I ask you today, who might the Lord be calling you to forgive that you have been holding forgiveness from? Forgiveness does not mean forgetting how you've been hurt, the pain that's been brought upon you. But forgiveness is something that Jesus makes it very clear: as you are forgiven, so we also ought to forgive. Who is God calling you to forgive this week? Because in holding that, we're hiding, in a way. We're keeping things that are in the dark, and not bringing them into the light that Christ desires to light up the darkest places. I'm going to close with this, how it looks for me personally. In my long commute from the back of camp to the front of camp, it used to be longer, I prayed the Lord's Prayer. But I don't just pray it as a prayer. I use it as a guide. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Holy is your name, Lord. A couple of attributes of the Lord. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Lord, would your rule and reign come in my life? Have your way in my life today. Give me today my daily bread. Give me everything I need for today. Grace for today, peace for today, provision for today. Give me today my daily bread, and forgive me my trespasses as I forgive those who trespass against me. Lord, forgive me my sins, and I'll speak them out. And I'll also say, Lord, if I'm withholding forgiveness today, would you help me to be someone who extends grace and forgiveness today? And lead me not into temptation of the sins of the gutters from the left or the right. Lead me not into temptation, but deliver me from the hand of the evil one, whose arrows are always coming. For yours is the kingdom, the power, and the glory. Everything belongs to you. My life for today and your camp for today. Forever and ever, amen. Maybe that's a step for you of daily confession, daily forgiveness, receiving it and extending it. I know I've gone long, not longer than maybe it's longer than the first service, but I'm landing the plane. Friends, may the Lord invite you into a deeper faith of not less confession, but more confession, so that you might experience the fullness of his grace and the life he has for you. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for your freedom that you offer through Jesus Christ our Lord. Lord, I pray for those areas where we might be hiding, and that you would bring things into the light, that you would shine your marvelous light, Lord, into the darkest places of our hearts and our minds, that we might walk in the light, Lord, and say, here I am, Lord. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit in me. In Jesus' name, amen.